When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, okay, how he got to the friend zone. He literally told me, Michelle, you know, I would like to take it further.
Good.
And I said, I said, no, why do guys always do that? Like, why do guys always...
So you just want to be his homie.
This is what happened. So I said to him, literally, I was like, why do guy friends always have to want it? Like, why do you always have to take it further? And he was like, Michelle, we hang out all the time. If you spend a night over here, what?
But I gotta tell you, I gotta put it in context for you.
Yes.
So in the 3 months that we were friends, Michelle stayed at my house every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Almost every day.
Yes.
So much so that she went to school for musical theater. So yes, she would have rehearsals at my apartment.
Yep.
I gave her the keys to the house. Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead, go have your rehearsal.
I'll tell you what he said. So when
I cooked every night.
Yes.
She stayed in my bed.
Yes.
Stayed in my house.
And you wouldn't
in
even
my bed.
Touch her.
Wouldn't even touch
her.
Wouldn't
oh,
even
I loved
with
it.
Wouldn't
I
even
loved
spoon
it.
With her.
Every second that escapes without you here with me keeps my heart anticipating till I finally see you.
When I made my vows, I told God that I was going to take care of this gift.
All my life I've been waiting for you. Girl, you know I've been praying for you. Been writing these love letters to you.
So I fight for that future in the present. You know what I'm saying?
That was good,
congratulations to the ones who found love. For the hope and new beginnings from heaven above, I await my future wifey. I pray that it won't be too long, too long. Every second that it...
Welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast. I'm your host, LaTerris R. Whitfield. Listen, are you still shacking up with us? Listen, if you're still shacking up with us, can we get a commitment? Hit that subscription button and subscribe. Make sure you turn on your notification bell so you'll be notified about upcoming episodes. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, can you go ahead and rate this video and leave a review? I will greatly appreciate it. That's how other people are able to be notified about the Dear Future Wifey podcast. So Lit Fam, thank you so much. We have reached 500,000 subscribers, and I thank y'all so much for making that happen. Today's guest, man, I love this dynamic couple. I love it when couples are able to still play together and not only do purpose work together, because they created this amazing company that gets your body moving. So without further ado, welcome to the Dear Future Wifey podcast, my homies, Shine and Michelle Clark. How y'all doing?
Woo!
Y'all in this thing. Y'all in this thing.
We're happy to be here.
We're so happy to be here.
I may be black. I may be ugly, but I'm here.
Listen, man, these people, those that may have been watching them on The Amazing Race, man, ooh, y'all have been doing a dynamic job on there. How'd y'all feel to be on The Amazing Race?
Amazing.
You know what I mean? Like,
it was good. It was an unexpected, just amazing thing. It's like... You know, we didn't know it was coming.
Right.
You know,
right.
They reached out to us. My wife and I, we have a video online, and it's called In Less Than a Minute, where we teach random people in random places how to jump double dutch in less than a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on, y'all gonna teach me at the end of the show?
You know we are.
Y'all gonna teach me?
Guaranteed.
You
know
we are. If I trip and break my neck,
you won't.
No, we won't.
I promise.
It won't happen with us.
Not
okay,
with
good.
Us.
Okay, so y'all gonna teach me how to double dutch
in
at the end of the show?
In less than 1 minute.
In less
guaranteed.
Than 1 minute.
That's
all right,
what we do.
All right, we're gonna do that.
And so they watched the video and they liked our personalities.
Yes.
And the video, we didn't have a lot of views on it.
Nope.
And that's just that's the testimony. Like, yes. We talk about it all the time.
No, specifically, y'all had how many views on that video?
It's like 700 views on that video.
Maybe.
And I always say, it doesn't matter about the views. It's a matter about who's watching.
That's
because
it.
Because you need that one person that may watch that change your whole life.
Yeah. And it's all about you need consistency. It's about the work works. So it's
work
like
works.
That video that you think is going to do something might not do anything.
Yeah. That's right.
But as long as you keep going, something's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they saw the video and they reached out to y'all, loved y'all personality and said what?
And said, would you audition to be on The Amazing Race?
So the audition process is like 2.5 months.
Yes.
Two and a half months.
So they kind of reached, I think they reached out to us in like June or July.
Yeah.
And we didn't know.
2020 what?
2022.
Okay.
And we didn't know if we were chosen until what? Like the end of September,
October? Yeah.
Yeah. So that was that whole process. So like we interviewed like, I don't know, like 10 times.
Because you go through layers of people and then you finally do CBS at the end.
Because you got to realize like with The Amazing Race, there are 20,000 people auditioning for the show every year.
20,000?
20,000. That's what they told us. 20,000 people auditioned for the show. And so
we got chosen.
And we got chosen. We were so honored.
Come on, somebody.
But I'm saying, you know what's funny? I was praying. So I want to travel the world, right? And so I was praying to travel the world with Sean. And literally The Amazing Race called. And I was like, okay.
Bam.
So, yes. And so literally, I didn't know what come in that package because I had never heard of the show. And so when they called, at first we was questioning, like, is this real?
Yeah.
And then, she gave us an email address and it was real.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
Black folks be so skeptical, don't we?
I know.
No, because it's like, I never heard of the show. Yeah. And then
I heard of the show. She didn't.
Yeah.
And so I knew how big the show was.
Yeah.
So for The Amazing Race to call, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm like, come on, son. This ain't real. And. Yeah. It was. And we had an amazing time.
It changed me.
How?
Because, you know, as an adult, you get so used to your comforts. So you don't challenge yourself anymore. Right. So like after The Amazing Race, it made me want to like rediscover what I like.
Yes.
Ooh, that's
so
good.
We started, I surprised him. I took him skydiving for his birthday, which is something he would have never done before The Amazing Race.
You jumped out a whole plane.
So now here's the catch. I'm scared of heights. But not just scared of heights, I'm terrified.
Doesn't get on roller coasters with the kids or anything.
I didn't get on roller coasters. I'd be like, babe, go ahead. I'll hold the coats.
So what made you do that?
Well, because I've been on this thing. Like I'm trying to overcome my fears.
Good.
You know, so for the past, few years, I've been like trying to figure out ways to push past my fears because I don't like anything to stop me.
Yes.
Yeah. I hate it. And so I hate it more than I'm scared of heights, and so when my wife surprised me, I actually drove there. So my wife was like, get in the car, we're going.
Yes.
So I got in the car, I'm driving there. Well, we get there and I see this big sign and I see Pete, they're talking about skydiving. I said, are we going skydiving? And she was like, yes.
I already paid for it.
Oh, you didn't tell her.
She didn't tell me. It was a surprise for my 46th birthday.
Yes.
And so I was like, Michelle, we going skydiving? I'm in. I got to go.
Oh, you said you was in.
I said, I'm in. And I mean, we're going for it.
I had to do it until I was like, oh, wait, I'm doing it too.
Right.
But I was so excited about keeping the secret, about getting him there.
You forgot about you.
I literally
was like, oh, no, I have to do it. And then, I got a little scared. But it was very exciting. To me, with skydiving, it's more like, you have to set accomplishments for yourself so that you feel like you could do, especially as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like you have to constantly, you don't graduate anymore when you're an adult.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to constantly do something to make you feel like you're reaching new levels.
Keep challenging yourself.
Yes.
Keep creating new challenges for yourself.
I was supposed to go skydiving and probably, I think it was in 2012 or 20 something with Joey Greco, the former host of Cheaters. He was on season one. Yeah, he was on season one episode. He's like, Leterre's go skydiving. I said, yeah, I'm going to go. The day of, I punked out. I said, ain't no way I'm doing that. I said, why would I jump out of a perfectly good plane?
That's what he used to say before.
It's funny because I always thought I would go skydiving at some point, even though I was scared of heights. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just thought I would. But it's not as bad as you think.
Well, yeah. I will really do it. Not. So now I will do it. But back then, I was like, I just remember the episode on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he jumped.
That's what I was doing. Will you marry me?
Yes. I know.
I was doing that the whole time there. I was like, will you marry me?
I used to think it was silly for people who had children. I used to be like, why would you do that? Like,
yeah, why you put yourself at risk?
But yeah, you realize
they got backup shoots on this.
Right.
You know, and so the closest I came is when I did the indoor skydiving place that we have here.
We have that in Atlanta.
It was fun. I said, well, we're going to do that. But then the guy was like, gosh, you're really good because I can control and do all this stuff and move around and spin around. I can do all that stuff.
I mean, after I did it, I said I would do it again every year.
Every year.
Every year for my birthday. I was like, you know what? I'll do it every year for my birthday. That'll be my thing that I'm going to do.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome.
What's up, Lit Fam? This is your boy, Latarius R. Whitfield. Listen, in celebration of the 4-year anniversary of the Dear Future Wifey podcast, which is coming up April the 15th, I've decided to do a free live event. Matter of fact, it's going to be a masterclass called The Love Blueprint. I've gotten emails, DMs, comments, people always soliciting my advice on how to find the one, how to position themselves for the one, how to get back out here in these dating streets and explore the possibility of finding the one. And, you know, I've only made this information available to my personal friends or when people DM me, you know, I'll, you know, give them advice. But I said, you know what, I want to help the masses. And so what I've decided to do on April the 15th, 16th, and 17th, to do a live masterclass called The Love Blueprint. As a matter of fact, this morning, I got this DM. I'm gonna keep her name private, but she says, I did a thing, LW. It started with a seed you planted that took root and restored hope within me. You made me believe in unicorns. Before you, I hadn't seen a man after God who was vulnerable and transparent about his past, present, and dreams of a future. You were in search of love and redemption. It had been such a foreign concept. It felt like a figment of my imagination. I'm grateful for your obedience. My unicorn found me, and now I get to be the wife I've always known I was called to be. Big hug and big thank you. And that's from a friend that had been DMing me for about 2 years now, if I go slide all the way back to the DMs, but she sent me her wedding photos. Go visit loveblueprintmasterclass.com and register for this free live event. Man, it's gonna be life changing. Can't wait to see you there.
So let's talk about y'all's marriage. You know, the Dear Future Wifey podcast, we believe in keeping it lit. We live intentionally and transparently. You guys have been fans of the show forever. We did a pre-interview, great conversation. Absolutely love y'all. Love what y'all stand for. Love how y'all built this dynamic marriage. Not only a company, but y'all are doing work together. Oftentimes when people are working together and loving each other together, it can get very difficult. And that can cause the demise of the marriage because you don't have a break from each other. Yes. How are you guys able to balance that?
You know, I don't know what balance means, but what I do know is that I like him. Mm-hmm. Like, I genuinely, genuinely like him. So there's no too much. Like, if he's downstairs for too long and I'm upstairs, I'm like, you don't like me, babe? Like, I don't understand why you don't want to be with me.
Michelle, you clinging? So, are you clinging, Michelle?
She's not clingy.
I'm not clingy. I'm just.
She's not clingy.
I always say he's highly addicted. He's highly addicted.
Blink if you're okay. Blink if you're okay. Blink if you're okay.
I like him. Like, he's highly addicted. He's highly addicted. We're both Leo, so we're a lot.
You know, that's the thing we have in common. Michelle and I, we love to be together all the time.
Yes. I love that.
It's a lucky thing, right?
Yeah. First, how long y'all been married? Put context around it.
We've been married for 10 years.
And y'all known each other?
Together for 15 years.
For 15 years. Okay. And I'll say this, because, okay, so often we always hear that marriage is hard, right? And it's like all this hard work. But I think what we believe in is sometimes we get scared to say it because we feel like we'll get beat up.
I know.
But I feel like marriage is easy. So life is hard and marriage makes it easier. Right. Meaning, like, infertility we dealt with, marriage made it easier.
Ooh,
finances
good.
Could be hard. Entrepreneurship can be hard.
Yeah, those things are hard.
Being married makes it easier.
I agree.
I lost my father in 2021. Losing a parent?
That's hard. Insane. That's hard.
But having him with me during that process made it easier. So it's just like, I feel like life can have hard moments, but marriage makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't make it easier, I don't know why.
Why you're in it.
You know what I mean?
I like that. Because I agree with that. And it's actually biblical. The Bible says that one can chase away 1,000 demons and two can set 10,000 demons to flight. Yes. That means that because of your covenant, because of your unity, you're able to do literally 10 times what you can do as an individual. And if the math was math, and you'll say one can chase away 1,000, two can set 2,000. Yes. But God's grace is on it, the number five, and you can do 10, you know, you can do 10,000. Yes. And so it should be easier. But oftentimes in marriages, we hear the opposite. We hear that, you know, get tired of the person that's with you. Right. And the pandemic caused a lot of divorces. People start recognizing, I don't like you. When you're talking about you like him and you want him around you all the time, the pandemic made people say, can you go to work? Can you leave the house? Because I don't like you being in the same air that I'm breathing.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was like that from day one when y'all met each other.
It was like that from day one. So let me just tell you how we met, right?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
So I was a filmmaker, and we had made this movie, this romantic comedy. It was called This Thing Called Love, The Irony, right? And so a friend of mine, she was like, you know, Sean, I'm having a showcase. You should come by and sell your movie, because we were out in the streets hustling, selling our movies. You know what you do back in the day.
Brooklyn.
So we were selling our movies. She's like, come on through. And so I get there. And guess who's the bartender? It was a club. Guess who's the bartender?
I was bartending.
My wife is the bartender.
Yes.
And so my friend, we had the same shirts on.
And for me, when I see two grown people with the same shirts on, I'm just like, okay, well, why do y'all have on the same shirt? What does it say? So I asked him to come over. Uh-huh. I read the shirt and he told me about the movie. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to buy the movie. But I said, you know, I'm at work. That's kind of productive. I don't spend money at work.
Right.
So he gave me the movie and he said, if you promise to watch it and tell me what you think about it, then, you know, I could give it to you for free.
Right. And we would do that a lot. So like, some people would want to buy the movie, but they just didn't have it. And I would go, you know what? Yeah. Here's the movie. Here's my number.
Yes.
If you like it, give us a call.
Yeah. And so I watched the movie and I thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I end up calling him, telling him about the movie.
Right.
But it was so easy. It's like I already knew him. So it's like we kept talking. And then we were hanging out. Almost
the same day.
Yeah, he asked me to go to a concert. That's another story. So we were hanging out, almost every single day?
Every single day. So since that day, we spoke every single day.
Yes.
And we hung out from the first day. A friend of mine got me some tickets for a concert.
Yep.
And I was supposed to go with a friend, and he canceled. And I was like, you know what? Let me call Michelle. And really on some... Michelle was just so cool.
It was like I knew him already.
It was like we knew each other. It was weird. I was like, you know what? I got these tickets for a concert. You want to go? And she was like, yeah, let's go. So
were you calling her as a friend or a potential?
I literally was calling her as a friend.
Yep.
And it's because of where I was mentally. So I just got out of a relationship like a year and a half ago with my high school sweetheart. And so I was literally, that time I was really working on me. So for like a year and a half, I was just focusing on bettering my best. I was just trying to be a better person. I was trying to find out who I was, because I was in a long-term relationship before. So in that time, I had to figure out who I was, and I was practicing celibacy.
Did you tell her?
Wait, no, I did tell her, but I messed up. I messed up twice.
With my manager at a restaurant that I used to work at.
We don't need to know
wait,
all that.
Wait,
we don't need to know that.
But we're getting no track.
No, you can't.
How did we turn our friendship into a relationship?
Say that and then jump off the conversation.
No, but the reason why I'm telling you that is because I really want you to know my headspace.
Right. Yeah.
So I was seriously trying to be better, and I wanted, like, I don't want to jump forward, but I literally prayed for Michelle. Like I wanted to meet somebody that I can tell good news to without feeling guilty.
Hold on, Sean.
What?
That's some good stuff. I dated a woman where you would be so... It's like you would feel guilty to tell them something good happened. It's a crazy thing. You'd be like, why can't you celebrate me? So you'll downplay your own success. Oh, yeah, well, I just, you know, this right here happened to me or whatever. And you'd be like, why do I have to be ashamed of my own success?
That was my life.
Wow.
Like the last 4 years, I don't want to talk about my other relationship, but I'm just saying, I want you to know where I was. For the last 4 years, that's what it was.
They were together 14 years.
14
right.
years. That's
and
a
so
long time.
I felt like I was losing myself.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so when I met Michelle, she was such a breath of fresh air.
It was so easy.
That when we started talking, she just made me happy. It was just, I just wanted to be happy. I wasn't thinking about being in a relationship. I wasn't trying to holler at her. It was literally, wow, she's a good time. I want to have a good time. I deserve it.
And for me, we hung out as friends for 3 months.
Yes.
And what I liked is that he respected all of my boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Meaning, what boundaries did you have?
Because I was a bartender, which means I had a lot of boundaries because people will always try to overstep.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like guys hugging me or any of that. Right. So we would hang out and he would ask me for a hug. I mean, wait, I was spending the night at his house. We was hanging out. And I was like,
you said you wouldn't let him hug you.
I wouldn't. No, I didn't like, because he didn't force it on me. So literally we went to the movies and I'd be like, bye, Sean. And he was just so nice.
So how did he not fall in the friend zone?
So, okay. How he got in the friend zone. He literally told me, Michelle, you know, I would like to take it further.
Good.
And I said, no, why do guys always do that? Like, why do guys always...
So you just want to be his homie.
This is what happened. So I said to him, literally, I was like, why do guy friends always have to want it? Like, why do you always have to take it further? And he was like, Michelle, we hang out all the time. If you spend a night over here, what?
But I got to tell you, I got to put it in context for you.
Yes.
So in the 3 months that we were friends, Michelle stayed at my house every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Almost, every day.
Yes.
So much so that she went to school for musical theater. So yes. She would have rehearsals at my apartment.
Yep.
I gave her the keys to the house. Yes. Go ahead. Go have the... Go ahead. Go have your rehearsal.
I'll tell you what he said. So when
I cooked every night.
Yes.
She stayed...
My best friend.
She stayed...
No best friend. No best friend behavior.
She stayed in my bed.
Yes.
Stayed in my house.
And you wouldn't
in
even
my bed,
touch her.
Wouldn't even touch her.
Oh, I loved it.
Wouldn't even spoon
it.
With her.
Then,
wouldn't even touch her.
This is what happened. So literally, he said...
So I just
said,
wanted to tell you all of that. So, just so that you know why I was just like, you know what? We're going to take this a little further.
So,
you know?
Because you got no space for no other woman. Yeah,
that's exactly what he said. So that's what I want to say.
Were you there? Were you there?
No.
I am you and you is me.
No, that's exactly what he said to me. Literally, so I said, you know, how come guys always have to do that? Because I've been violated by guy friends before. So I was like, why do guys always want to take it further? So he said, Michelle, we hang out every day. Like, come on. So he said, okay, if we're not going to take it further, that's fine. But you can't, like, be with me every day. You can't spend the night. And so I started crying. And I was like, wait, but we're best friends. Like, what do you mean? So he said, okay, we could hang out. And then one random day, he got locked up for a suspended license, and I couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally was like, God, if you let me find him, if he's okay, I will confess my love.
But I got...
Right?
Also, you really wasn't. You just hiding
it.
It's like it didn't click until I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you.
That's what happened.
I got to tell you what happened. I got to tell you what happened on the other side.
Yeah.
So while I was in the bookings. So while I was there, I called my mother. I said, do not call Michelle. Don't call her. I'm not going to call her. You don't call her. I said, she has to miss me. That's what I said. I said,
why did you take that
because
approach?
Because I felt like she was not taking me for granted, for lack of a better word or phrase. Like, I felt like she was taking what we had for granted. Like, we weren't just friends. And so I had to break it up because we saw each other every single day. I want
every
you to
day.
See what it feels like to not know where I am.
Yes.
To not see me. You're going to have to miss me. And so
and I was like, God, please.
Look, so I had to spend the night and I sat there and I was like, watch, tomorrow she's gonna be like, oh my God, where are you?
I knew
that was the shift that she needed. I don't know why. I just felt it. Something just told me to do it. And I'm not trying to play games.
No, you're just saying that this is the reality of it.
Because
I can go off and marry somebody else. You're going to be sitting up here trying to confess it the day I'm not married.
Right, because this is my life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so The next day.
So let me ask you this real quick before you go there. How long from that moment when you said, hey, let's take it to the next level, she was opposed to it and then you got locked up? How much time was between
that? Maybe like another month.
Maybe, yeah.
So you try to play the role of just putting your feelings aside and say, all right, I'm just going to be in this friend zone with her.
Just, we're going to be friends because
I. And then she was still coming over your house every day.
Every day. Yeah. And the thing is, we were just so good together. Kind of like how we are, like how we are now. It's like nothing changed.
He would like say little things that made me know he was still interested, but I just loved our relationship so much that I just didn't want, I don't know. But I had been in such bad stuff before that it's like I couldn't identify it. But what I loved was being with him. I knew that I loved being with him. But what ended up happening when he got the next day, when he was okay.
When he got released.
When he got released, he came and picked me up, but he was with somebody. He was with his homeboy.
No, my homeboy. I was with my homeboy.
Okay. And I was literally like, no, I'm ready to like confess my love.
But we got somebody else here.
Yes. And so literally, finally, when we got rid of that person, I spent the night again. And this time I rolled over a little further.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized, oh, I can marry him after what happened that evening.
She scooched back. We spooned. She scooched back. She put that back into it. And I said,
We're here now.
Elizabeth.
He laughs. But my definition of marriage is, no, I'm going to say it appropriately.
Cover
ears. But my definition of marriage is a best friend who makes you climax.
Oh, that's good.
Sharing a life with a best friend who makes you climax.
I agree.
And so I figured out that night that we could do that climax part. And then I said, you know what? I could do this for life. And so there. And no, even it was so funny because.
So did you confess after that moment that you say, I really been, I missed you and I thought I was going to never see you again?
I didn't say too much. Mm-hmm. But afterwards. I think he realized after that evening that it was going to be more. And then he asked me, because I like titles. So he asked me to be his girlfriend on
January 1st,
2009. And so I said, yes, I'll be your girlfriend.
So, okay. So how far between your climax moment and the moment he asked you to be your girlfriend?
That was in December.
It was in December. And that was December 31st. We came back from a party. So January 1st. Came back from a New Year's
party. So it was like maybe like December, maybe like 14th or something. 15th.
So about 2 weeks later.
Two weeks later.
2 weeks later.
So what were you thinking after that moment then, Sean?
After which moment?
The moment. The spooning moment.
No, you know, I was just, it just felt right. It felt like. Like, I knew I was right. I knew we were supposed to be together. Like, I knew you were my person.
How would you have felt even after that moment she still didn't want to be with you?
I didn't think that far. I'm not gonna hold it. I didn't think that far because.
You just knew when she did that, it went to the next level.
Because we were already living as a couple.
We were.
Not too much changed after that. I mean, we had sex, but. Everything was still. Everything was better because now
you could. I could hug him a million times. Yeah.
It's the ease of it all.
Because so now after that moment.
Yeah,
I changed because it's just like you say. Safety is freedom.
Yep.
So it's like once, and I think that's what those months were for me.
Yeah.
Those months to me were figuring out if I could feel safe.
Good.
And then once I realized I was safe, and I remember he laughed. He was like, I didn't know you were this affectionate.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I had been, you know what I mean? I had just been
reserved.
Reserved,
yeah.
And then once I realized that, like, you know what I mean? He's the one.
Yeah.
Then it just felt like I could love fully without. With all
no restrictions.
With no restrictions.
Yeah.
And then, and also people always say, like, how do you know Sean was the one? And I always say it's because, and even till this day, it's because you're the one moments keep happening. It's just like
the one moments keep happening.
And I mean, you know, literally when I was, well, for all the ladies that have breastfed before, when I was drying out my milk, I remember he wet the towel, like a hot towel. He wet it with hot water and brought it over to me to help that pain release. Mm-hmm. And he let the bed get messed up. And it's just like, I remember that being a moment.
Good.
He got me, he got my favorite singer from, what's the band? Tank and the Bangers to sing me Happy Birthday. It's like, there's so many moments that keep happening.
You're the one moment.
They kept happening. You know what I mean? And they keep happening. And so that's how that's how I just know he's the one. He continues to be the one because it's yeah.
Sean continues to be the one.
Yes.
You're the one moments.
Yes.
And so how long from the moment that y'all made it official on January the 1st, bringing that new year in, what year was that?
2009.
January 1st. And y'all dated for almost 5 years before Get Tied or Not?
Four, because we got... I told him 2012 was my lucky year. If you don't propose 2012, then I don't want anything. He proposed December 26th, 2012.
Sean, why you wait so long?
Because he won't let me be... boss him around.
You really can't. No,
I cannot.
No, I just wanted to wait till I was ready.
What was ready for you?
So I'm the kind of person, it just comes to me. It's kind of like, I was just like, you know, it literally out of the blue, I was like, you know, I'm ready to marry Michelle. Like I want to make her my family. You know, I want to grow a family with her. Like she is the one.
So when did that come? December the 26th, you proposed. So when did you get the aha moment?
I think it had to be like around late October of that year, maybe early November. I was doing a gig out in Philly, and I was working. I was just thinking, you know, I want to marry her. And then I started thinking about all the reasons why it made sense. You know, I love every part of Michelle. I love how brilliant she is. I love how fun she is to be around. I love her perspective on things. I love her passion about everything. My wife, she's just so passionate. Like even when she speaks, she draws you in because she really means what she says. And that was another thing. You know, Michelle tells the truth. Michelle is Michelle 100% of the time.
Wait, I got to tell you. So when I told him that, like, we should just, like, stay friends, I told him everything bad about me. So I was like, you don't want to be with me. Trust me, okay? I've done this, my life, this. You know, you don't want to be with me.
And I was like, that's all you got?
Yeah. And he literally, like, I tried to tell him back. He was like, Michelle.
Girl,
like,
bye.
Grow up. Like, come on, you know what I mean? Like
you're being childish right now, girl. Right. Grown man. I'm a grown man.
Literally. He was like,
a grown man.
You mean you lived your life? Oh, okay.
And so, literally.
Exactly.
Right.
I thought I don't know, but I just thought if I told him everything about me.
You'll run away.
Yes. He would run away.
And made him dial in closer because he loved the transparency.
He loved that I was so honest. He literally was like,
are we here, Sean? Are we here?
He literally was like, okay.
You were there with us.
Yeah, I was.
No, but that's what it is. And when you talk about safety means love to me. Right? So I feel like if I could trust you, man, I got you for life.
Facts.
That's it.
Facts. And the fact that she was vulnerable telling you all the bad stuff, the stuff that most people hold sacred and take it to the grave.
No.
That showed you that I can trust you with even the worst part of you.
Yes.
Beyonce have a song called Flaws and All. Yeah. And I love that song when I first heard it years ago. Because if we can love each other's flaws, then all the other stuff is gravy. If you can tell me all the stuff that you're ashamed about, the stuff that you're not proud about, and you trust me with that, even the Bible says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Yes. If we learn to do that in relationships to say, these are my vulnerabilities, these are the things that I'm ashamed about. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. And so even while you were confessing those things that you didn't like about you, it was healing the broken girl inside of you because now you're finding safety in the man that you thought would leave after sharing your vulnerabilities. And he says, that's all you got.
That's how
God treats us. That's all you got. Come on.
Yeah.
That's all you got. That's all you got. Yeah. And so that's where safety began to be even cultivated on a deeper level because you said it with the mentality of, I'm going to say it and push you away. Yeah. And he says, that's just making me draw you closer.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to shout right now.
No, but I got to say this too because Sean was so inspirational to me because when we were hanging out, I was messing with someone else, not in a real way, but
in a real way.
They were just, I would say, my fix-it man. Yeah. So whenever I would go to that person, and I remember the last time I was there, I was like, what am I doing here? I want to go to Sean's house. This is not right. And so literally, that was the last time I was ever with someone else. And literally, I went to his house and I told him.
Good.
And I was like, I'm going to practice celibacy too. And I was like, I need to clear my life. This is just, you know what I mean? I want to not do this. And he was like, okay. Because I knew that was a little crazy. I came. He was like, okay. And literally I started practicing celibacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that long
at all.
It wasn't that long. 3 days.
When she said practice, I was intentional about the 3 days.
It was more than a month.
She was going to do it. I was like, okay.
That's what we're doing today.
That's what. Okay. All right.
I wouldn't believe it. You didn't believe it?
No, I was like, this is not going to last.
I just knew I wanted it. I just wanted something different. And so that was, yeah.
So you wanted something more real. You would go to the fix-it man, but then come home and cuddle with him. Yes. Well, you wouldn't even cuddle with him. You just lay in the bed with him.
And what I realized is because I didn't want the attachment, I was in control of the other situation. Right. I was in complete control. Yep. So I couldn't be hurt. So I was protecting myself from hurt. So I was boundaries with him because I wasn't doing anything physical with him. Because so that meant he couldn't hurt me.
Yep.
And the other person had no emotional attachment to them. And they actually wanted emotional attachment, but I was so in control, you know what I mean, that I didn't, no one had both because that was too dangerous.
That's good. I wish more people, especially women, could be more honest about that. Because men, we operate like that. That's just every day of the week.
Oh, I'm a gangster.
Yeah, you're a gangster. Oh, you're a thug. You're a thug princess up in this bad boy. Oh. Yeah. That's why dudes be like, that's why when women get mad at dudes, be like, how did you cheat on me with this other woman? He said she meant nothing. How did she not mean anything?
Right.
You just go crazy, man. Be like, I just had sex with it. Just had sex.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They can't understand it, but you're giving voice to exactly the way men think.
Yeah.
Majority at all times.
I just caught that.
Yeah. It's the reality. And then you brought it. You threw my boy under the bus earlier. You said he done messed around with your boss.
Yes, he did. And if, you know what's funny? That's part of the reason when I said no, I was like, I would never mess with you. You messed with some. You know what I mean? Like, you messed with
but that
my
was,
old
that,
boss.
That was before you, right?
That was way before me.
No, it was way before her. That's what I was like.
But
Michelle, this doesn't even make sense. I didn't know you. What do you want me to? I can't take it back.
I can't do it. I made that decision without you in mind. Well, I didn't know you. I don't care. I got to see her when I go.
Exactly. Literally. I was like, you messed with her like out of all the people in the world.
Then you judging his decision making.
I know.
Right.
Everybody hurt.
Oh my God.
That literally was.
I got that for a little while.
And it wasn't because it was her. It's because I knew her. Yeah. Like, it was like, she's actually some. I know this person. No way I would mess with you. No way.
You know, he said, well. Yes. I know each other.
Yes. But I told you though.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
But we gotta
put it together how our parents knew each other and how this is a destiny type thing.
Say that again, this is a destiny type thing.
Because our families, when Sean and I were hanging out as friends, remember he had the movie.
Yes.
And so literally, I came home, we had the movie, because he knew my mom and stuff.
Right.
And so I showed my mother the movie. Well, you showed my mother the movie.
So I showed her mother the movie and I was like, you know, this is the movie that I'm doing. Oh, no, you did.
Yeah.
Because then she was like, no, well, my girlfriend's son made this movie.
Yeah.
And she looked at Michelle like...
like he was scamming.
Like I was lying. And I said, well, what's your friend's name? Yeah. And she said, Judith. I said... and I started laughing. I couldn't get it out my mouth. I was like, that's my mother.
And my mother was like, what, Miss Clark? Because they worked.
They worked together.
They worked together.
There's a whole lot of those.
Yes.
So like... On the night before our wedding day, we had to drop our car off at the wedding house, right?
Yeah.
So I passed by my father's job and I was like, well, you know, my father used to work there.
He was with my dad, both of them.
I'm sorry, I was with her father.
Yeah.
And he was like, your father? He said, I used to work there. And I said, really? He said, what's your father's name? I said, you know, Stanley Clark. And he was like, oh my God, I worked with your father.
His father passed away.
So y'all mamas worked together and y'all daddies worked together?
Yes, and I couldn't find out till the wedding day because we did the whole not speak before the wedding day.
And so I didn't find out
until after we got married that my dad knew his dad, but his father passed away when he was eight years old.
Yeah. So you're talking about years before.
Years before.
Our parents knew each other for years.
Before we even met.
It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
What are the odds of that happening?
That's what I said.
But not only that, you're talking about actually working together.
They worked together.
Not only that, Michelle's parents, when I was a kid, I used to live on this block in Brooklyn, Ocean Avenue.
Yeah.
Michelle's parents lived next door to me. I was 3 years
old. It's like we kept being around each other without being around each other.
I was 3 years old. They lived next door to us. Never knew it. We found all of that out later. We have so many similarities. So like many. Her father and brother have the same middle name as my father and brother.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And
like
it's Eugene, so that's not a common name.
Her middle name is my sister's name.
Yeah.
Yvette. You know, it's just...
It's so many, like...
So what did your mama say? when they met y'all and found out all these connections?
They were just like, it has to be meant to be.
It has to be meant... They were excited. They were so excited because they actually like each other. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Our in-laws, they're really cool.
They were cool before y'all.
Yeah, they were
before
cool.
Us.
We still gonna be cool.
Yeah. Like they were cool before us. And I love my mama. Shout out to my mama, but she don't get along with everybody. So the fact that literally they worked together and they liked each other,
that's dope. That
to me was just like, it was so many pieces like that.
We were just supposed to be together.
We were supposed to be together.
You touched early on about how y'all struggle with fertility issues in y'all marriage.
Yes.
When did that come about?
So,
2000 and...
Well, I was turning 30.
So on my 30th birthday.
I don't want to date you because
I know you don't want
to. I don't tell my age. Ladies never tell their age. Okay.
Guys, don't do the math. Don't do the math, please.
Don't add up nothing.
But he's a little older than me. We'll just say that. But anyway. So literally after our first year of marriage, I said, okay, now it's time to try.
Yes.
So we started trying and I thought it would just happen. All the years I tried not to get pregnant, yeah. I just thought it would happen.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't just happening.
Right.
And so I was like, something is wrong. And so we went to the doctor, and then she told me that I had fibroids. And so after that, we continued to try. She told me that I was going to have to, first she sent me to a fibroid embolization specialist. She sent me to him. I had to get an MRI. And then after that, they told me that the only way I was going to be able to have children is if I got an abdominal myomectomy.
And what is that?
That's basically a C-section, but you don't take out a baby. Instead, it's the same surgery. Instead, you take out fibroids.
Okay. Mm.
So I didn't like that option. We are entrepreneurs. And so I didn't like the insurance wasn't insurance. Okay.
Trust.
And all the risk, it didn't sit comfortable with me. So I went to YouTube school and I learned about fasting and veganism. But in between that time, we had two miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a struggle in itself. Okay. And I'm good. But that was a struggle in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so went to YouTube and I did two 30-day juice cleanses because I saw two women that said that they healed naturally from fibroids.
From
and
juice so, cleanses?
One from juice cleanse and one woman from a water fast. And so we had already been playing around with veganism anyway. We had tried it before, did a trial. We just were like trying out veganism and we felt very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed vegan and then I tried, I did two 30-day juice fasts and I did a 17-day water fast.
Two 30-day, not back to back.
So in between, I was eating vegan.
Okay.
So I did two 30-day juice cleanses and a 17-day water fast. And during the water fast, I had a fibroid fall out in the toilet.
That's a fact.
And also during the fast.
What does it look like? Is this little bit?
No, it was like a ball. It was like a hard ball. We actually have pictures in the ebook. So we took pictures. I was actually disgusted when it fell out the toilet because I don't have the stomach for that stuff.
Yeah.
So I screamed and Sean came upstairs and was like, what?
What's going on?
And I told him and he was like, take it out the toilet, Michelle. Like, take a picture. And I was like,
wait, you mean we can have a baby if we get this? So, I'm in there.
Right.
Yep.
He took it out. We took pictures and it confirmed that it was a fibroid. And before that, I did have healing with the, because I had a number of fibroids. So they end up shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it still wasn't enough.
Right.
And so after that, I changed my options and I was able to, after the two 30-day juice cleanses and the water fast, I literally had three kids in 4 years without an abdominal myomectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Without
change
an abdominal.
Change your diet.
What?
The fasting.
And water fasting is so healing. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because when you're doing a water fast, the body has to take care of what it needs.
That's right.
So it has to take care of the liver, the heart, the lungs.
So it's getting rid of everything else.
And that's why literally it falls out.
Yeah.
It's like literally falls out.
And you're just I'm no longer supplying nutrients to this thing.
That's right.
And I need to go.
That's exactly what happens. That's simple. And I just want to say how, so Sean did one of the 30-day juice cleanses with me. Mm-hmm. And he would text me every day, juicing for Journey day one. We thought we were going to have a girl and name her Journey. Clearly, that didn't happen. We end up having Sean Jr. first. But he texts me every day, juicing for Journey day one, juicing for Journey day two. Mind you, he sleeps next to me and we're still together. But just that encouragement every day, seeing why I was doing the juice cleanse. And so, I literally journaled my whole story. I also had a thank you God journal. So I would thank God every day for a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. So much so.
Like it happened. She would say it like it happened.
Like it happened. So much so that in my diary, when I actually got pregnant, I put like a highlighter, like, no, it's real. Because if you were to see my journal, you would have thought I was already
pregnant.
Speaking
those things that be not as though they were.
Yes. Mm. You would have thought I was already pregnant. And then when Sean Jr. was 5 months, we got pregnant again. And it was so fast. I was like, okay, wait a minute. You know what I mean? You spent so every single month for 2 years. We had how many pregnancy tests? We took a pregnancy test every single month. We tried every single month from the miscarriages. So it's just like when it happened when Sean Jr. was 5 months, we was like, oh, okay, Jesus. And then.
But what about when you had Sean? Like how fast did you get pregnant after you healed the first time?
Literally,
We went to the doctor.
It was 1 month after I had a MyoSure. Mm-hmm. So I was able to change my options and I was able to do a MyoSure. And literally 1 month afterwards, I got pregnant with Sean Jr.
That's right.
Were y'all trying to have another kid?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, we were just living.
No, y'all just having sex is what y'all were.
We weren't trying.
No, we weren't trying,
but we weren't stopping either. Yeah. No, I ain't gonna hold you. We weren't stopping. I'm just gonna say that. Sorry, Mom, if you're watching.
During 2020, Sean, he asked to have another, he wanted another baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, and then we had another baby, and then we have so just three like children. That.
You said, "I want another baby." You said, "Okay," and then it was just
it didn't. I mean, well,
kind of though,
yeah. Because I think we both kind of felt like
something
like something was missing, like we needed another child.
Yeah,
and so when I asked her, and she was like, "Well, first she was like, well, let me think about it," and then like shortly after, she was like, "All right, let's do it."
Yeah.
And I was looking at her like, "Oh. Is that easy? You mean I could just, look, let's have another baby."
No.
It's not working this time? It didn't work?
Not working that time?
No. My body is a little, I thought we wanted five kids. We thought we wanted five
that's
kids.
That's right. We both wanted five kids.
I think God said party of five. And so I think I got the messages confused. Said
party of five.
Party of five.
And so, yeah.
So how did y'all navigate that space of desiring a child? First, feeling like, did you ever feel like, no, it wasn't going to happen?
Of course.
And then how did y'all navigate that as a married couple?
I was scared for him because I was like, you know, this is me. I'm the one that's suffering from infertility. So I was so scared for him because I was like, I knew he would be a great dad. You know what I mean? And so I felt guilty because I'm like, if I can't have children, I can't stop him from having children. Like, I would have to let him go. And I remember expressing that to him.
You would let him go?
Yes.
You would divorce him instead of trying to adopt, instead of having a surrogate. You just say, I got to let you go. Divorce. Go find another wife.
That's what I thought about.
I tell you what, like, I thought we could have a kid. There wasn't one second where I felt like, oh my God, we're not going to have children. In fact, I always tell Michelle, it wasn't until we had children where I realized that I couldn't have children either. Like it was kind of like, yeah. because when Michelle was going through what she was going through, my focus was to lock in and help her heal. That was it. I didn't even think about me not being able to have kids. I was just focused on her being able to have kids. And yeah. I knew the kind of woman Michelle, I know the kind of woman Michelle is. So, you know, I always say Michelle's a world champion in double dutch, right? And I always say you could be a world champion at breaking pencils. It doesn't matter. It's just what it takes, the type of person it takes to want to be a champion. So right,
John, you better teach.
It's the tenacity. It's the focus. I want to win. That is who my wife is. So not for one second, she'll tell you. Yeah. You would have thought we were in two different places. I was like, oh no, we haven't.
He
children.
Has such confidence.
Oh, like, I know we haven't. It's happening.
But I will say this: the thing I'm grateful for is. When you're suffering from infertility, you could feel like it's your whole world, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And so I always say there are tools that I learned during that process that I still use today. So of course the thanking God ahead, but also I used a Unity prayer line because I didn't want to put all the pressure on my family, right? Meaning I would cry, of course, sometimes, but I didn't want to put all that weight on Sean, and I didn't want to call my friends or I didn't want them to call me back and ask, you know, how you doing today? I didn't want that. And so I would call Unity Prayer Line, which was like totally outside of any personal attachment. So I would call them. They would pray with me, allow me to cry, allow me to release. Mm-hmm. And then they would pray for you for 30 days. And so literally when I was feeling overwhelmed, I would just literally act like I was going to Publix, take a little longer and literally call them and just release that so that I could make sure to keep my joy about myself.
Right.
And also I would write things that I was grateful for. Mm-hmm. I started meditating, which I still do today, because although I was going through infertility, I still had so much to be happy about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I have an amazing husband. I have an amazing family. My girl crew is amazing. Shout out to my girls. Okay. meaning I had so many things in my life to be grateful for that I had right. to focus on them to make sure that infertility wasn't just taking over my whole world.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the whole of you. It's just something that's happening at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He casually just threw out, you've been a world champion in double dutch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that you became a world champion?
That was a while ago. I was a teenager when I was became world champion. But I've been jumping double dutch since I was 4 years old.
And they actually, you competed
yes,
in this.
Mm-hmm. I competed.
So how do you win it?
So, okay. So when you're from New York, literally there's... So I was on the Jam and Jumpers. Shout out to Miss Payne. I was on the Jam and Jumpers, and you do state competitions, then you do the world competition. So you have to come first to third in the state, then you do the world. The world competition, which we actually went to with our kids this year, which was so full circle.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Literally, you compete in South Carolina or Savannah, Georgia. And so I won in Savannah, Georgia. And so, yeah, you win the world championship.
I mean, what are you doing? I mean, what does that look like?
So the competition is compulsory. So compulsory is you have three members on a team or a doubles team, which is four members. I was the speed jumper for my team. So you compete in three categories: compulsory, speed, and freestyle.
What's compulsory?
Oh, compulsory is... It's hard to say
it's a standard trick that yes. everyone has to do.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's one person from each team.
One person from each team yes. has to do this standard trick and yeah. they have to execute it perfectly.
So you have to execute it in 30 seconds. It's two hops, yeah. eight hops on one side, eight hops on a lever, crisscross, high knees. If you mess up, it's minus 10 points. So it's like a standard thing that everyone has to do, but you have to execute it perfectly. And then you have a speed jumper on your team. Your time for 2 minutes. You count when your left foot hits the ground. Each time you mess up, it's minus 10 points. So that's how you calculate speed.
How are you messing up? You're talking about if you hit the rope?
If the ropes mess up. Mm-hmm. And if your teammate drops the rope, it's minus 15 points.
And you're the speed jumper.
And so, I'm the speed jumper.
So you're
for
doing
my team.
How many jumps in that 2 minutes?
2 minutes, I made anywhere between 350 and 360. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now the funny thing is where we say this. So now competitions, CETA got 400 before.
Thank 400?
God I, yes.
Yeah, this...
he's 400?
Yes, he's a 36-time world champion.
He's a 36-time world champion.
36 times?
36 times, because it's every year, yes.
His name is Cedar Wise. He's yes. probably the best in the world.
Best in the world.
Best in the world,
jumping
yeah.
400.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And so your time for 2 minutes,
jumps
and then literally
the
you have the judges counting how many times your left foot hits the ground. and you keep getting back in the ropes until the 2 minutes is over. When you do a doubles team, one teammate does a minute and 5 seconds, and then another teammate does 55 seconds. And so you're jumping as fast as you can. Of course, the goal is not to mess up, but it's also about who stays in the rope the longest. Because if the other person is going longer, but they mess up twice, they get minus 20 points, right. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then you do freestyle, which is time for a minute, and everyone from the team has to do a trick. You have to do a floor trick. You have to do a speed trick, a turning trick, and the judges calculate it based
on
that.
What got you into this?
Because I'm from Brooklyn.
So that's just what y'all do.
Oh, yeah. When you're from Brooklyn, so... Yeah, everybody. When you're from Brooklyn, Chicago. But I'm talking about,
so it's this known thing that you just compete in tournaments to do double dutch.
No,
so
only when it's offered.
You do it in the hood and that's it.
You know what? That's funny you say that. Because Chicago doesn't have a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. So New York, actually, David Walker started it as a sport. So that's what's funny with double dutch aerobics is. So there's street style double dutch and then there's competitive style double dutch. And what makes us the pros is that we're professionals in both styles. Mm-hmm. So when you meet people, they either street jump, they've been jumping since they were five, but they don't know like flips and mountain climbs and all that stuff. That's competitive style double dutch. But competitive style double dutch, a lot of people don't know street style because you were forbidden to jump street style when you were a professional.
Why is that?
Because people like to make rules. Yes.
That too.
But my kind of
like
team,
if you're on a basketball team. You can't,
yes,
you can't.
My coach Ruth Payne allowed us to do both. And so that's what makes
y'all can be stylish. Y'all can be in there and everybody like, woo! They just love y'all. And y'all also, team come out there and they just get excited.
Yes. Well, so everyone that was on a Jam and Jumpers has the special skill of being able to do both. And so who knew that 100 years later I would create Double Dutch Aerobics where my skill of being able to do both makes this business successful because I could relate to people who have been jumping their whole lives, but then we could teach people in less than a minute because I jumped professional style as well. Mm-hmm. So it makes it,
I know. Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. I was in theater school and as an actress, they used to say, if there's something else you love, go do that. Because this business is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that I could turn Double Dutch into a business.
Yeah.
And that's with Sean, because I didn't know actually until Sean was an entrepreneur before me. And so when I told him the idea for an adult Double Dutch class.
I thought it was the best idea I've ever heard in my life. Because growing up in Brooklyn, I knew how important Double Dutch was to Black little girls.
Yeah.
Yes. It was everything.
Yes. Yep.
It was everything when you didn't have anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so... when she came with me with that idea, I was like, Michelle, let's start this like now.
Yeah.
And literally, like the next week, we started the class.
You see what I'm saying? If you're married to the wrong person, they could have said, that's the stupidest thing.
Right? They could have.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I didn't know you could turn it into a business.
Yes.
I didn't know you could turn Double Dutch into a business.
You could cast vision to the wrong person.
Yes. That's true.
No one would ever see that thought.
Yes.
Because you could be like, I want to do this. Like, why? No, baby.
Look.
They can tell you what they told us as actors. Because I was an actor. I grew. That's what I did for years.
Yes.
And did national tour and plays. My own father told me. That's interesting. My own father told me when I was doing plays, my dad was like, go get your real job. Why in the world are you... So you think you can become a national touring playwright? You really think that? Mm. He talking about, that's never going to happen. Mm. And then just a couple of years later, I had shows touring across the country.
That's
I was
what
in
I'm
New York,
about.
Did the Beacon Theater with one of my shows.
At the Beacon Theater. Come on now.
Did that like three times. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
big.
I was touring around. I did the Merriam in Philadelphia. Yes. I did the Lyric in Baltimore. Ooh. I was touring shows all across the Music Hall in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? All across the country, the Leah Cora Center in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah. Talk that talk.
Like I was everywhere with shows touring across the country from Toronto to the Erie Crown in Chicago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everywhere. But my dad, one day, after I became this national touring playwright, he would have my play bills and he'll drive around in the car with probably in the car right now.
Yes.
Every play I got, I'd be like, this is my son. Yes.
Got
this.
And
I was like, you remember when you said there's no way I would ever become that? And I was 24 years old, and he told me that. But the truth be told is what happens. Parents, and they mean well.
They do.
But what they're saying is that you came for me. You came through my loins. I have limits. So how in the world can you do more than I've ever done?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're looking at you saying, how could some seed from me ever produce something as great as that? And so I started, and I remember telling my dad, I said, would you tell King David that when he was still yet a shepherd boy? Mm. And I said, you got to think about it, is that the gifts that And the truth be told, my dad had gifts that were unrealized in his own life. You know what I'm saying? Amazing artist. He would sit there, design his cars, draw it. I mean, beautiful. I'm talking about he should have been an engineer. But he would draw the vehicles that he had and design how he was going to get it changed. And he's going to put skirts around the side and put whatever on it. And I remember as a little boy, I saw that. I was like, you drew this? He was like, yes. And I was just like, why are you not doing anything with this?
Right.
And then one day I got in trouble because I was tracing something. I was tracing Garfield and I was drawing a picture of Garfield. That's before your time, Arsenio. So before your time, you'll know who Garfield is. Yeah. So I was tracing Garfield and my dad was like, I showed him, look what I drew. He said, you traced that. I don't ever see you trace anything again. And it inspired me to draw. And so I became this great artist. I would draw people, a visual artist would draw people and all that. And I would do that, you know, through high school and get paid for drawing people or whatnot. Because he said, don't ever trace anything ever again. But again, he still never actualized his dream, whatever it was, to be whatever his skill set was. And so when I look at couples like y'all, I say purpose, y'all are purpose partners. Because you could articulate what you decide, what you desired, and he said, most amazing deal I ever heard. Yes. Let's start it now. And the next day it started.
And the thing is, he wasn't even interested in teaching with me.
No.
He just wanted to help me start the business.
Exactly.
And so literally, he learns everything. I always say, Sean can learn the world by watching YouTube. No, really. He put the lights in our studio. Like, he learns everything. And so one of my former teammates, she couldn't really commit like I needed. And so he was like, just teach me. And so he ended up falling in love with it himself. It's a people business. Well, you know what I mean?
I mean, also, even as a child, I always wanted to do something where I could be with my family more than I am at work.
Good.
Even as a kid.
Good.
And so, like, you know, Double Dutch Aerobics, it brings you so much joy. We have so much fun in class. I can't even explain it to you. And I get to do that with my wife. Yes. And I get to do it with my children. My children can jump. Yes. My children.
They good?
No, they're phenomenal. Our daughter went
viral. Are you going to have them compete?
Probably. If they want to.
Yeah, I don't know.
But our daughter went viral.
But they're going to do it as a business. They're going to be working. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, our son started turning at 11 months. Yes. And our daughter went viral for turning at 8 months.
Mm-hmm. It's called turning.
Turning.
You know, I gotta get the vernacular. It's turning.
So, like, it's amazing.
But we have to say what Double Dutch Aerobics is. So, Double Dutch Aerobics is a formatted 60-minute workout class.
Mm-hmm.
So, similar to yoga and Zumba, people come and get certified with us so that they can teach Double Dutch Aerobics. So, if you want to learn how to teach, you also come to our program. And wherever you see Double Dutch Aerobics, that's our formatted 60-minute workout class. So, people jump Double Dutch, but it's never been turned into a workout. And I've always liked going to the gym. Like, I like going to take a class. I don't want to think. I want somebody to tell me what to do, when to do it. And so literally I was like, I want to go to the gym and be able to like do something I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the thought of Double Dutch Aerobics came, because I would do spin class. He was playing football. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, how come grown men do what they do as kids? And as women, we weren't doing what we did as kids.
Yeah.
And so that's where Double Dutch Aerobics came about.
And so it's like, how many people in a class?
We max out.
And like, we try to max out like 15, 20
each class.
And so what it is, you'll have two people turning and another person doing that, and they just alternate in the class?
No. So first we start the class. It's no experience necessary. So the first step is, if you never jumped before, you learn in that minute. If you jump before, you get out whatever your heart desires, your pop-ups, your mumbles. Because people often wonder, how come a class could be for somebody who've never jumped before and someone who's jumped their whole lives?
Exactly.
And the reason is because you're doing a different style.
Right.
So that person who's been jumping their whole lives, when after they get there, jump out, and we teach them like the basic, it's called the basic hop, they're like, oh my God,
They're ready to go. We got them locked in.
Yes.
Now they believe us.
So that person.
Now we're ready to go.
That person who hasn't jumped, we teach them in less than a minute. And then we teach that person who's jumping their whole lives the basic hop. And then everyone is on the same level.
Right.
Then you learn Double Dutch Aerobic style, which is we do jump out. So you do two jumps and you go right behind each other. Then we teach you outside of the ropes, something like that kick. And then you do it in the ropes. So you could take a class with someone who's been jumping since they were 5, and you guys will be on the same level. And you burn how many calories?
500 to 700 calories per
class. Each class. And you're laughing so much, you don't even realize you worked out until you get home.
That's so fun.
And you
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, we've gotten a chance to take it outside the classroom. So we teach at federal prisons across the country.
Yep.
We do like you know, all of DJ Envy's car shows. Yeah. We do health fairs.
We just came from St. Croix teaching at the high school.
We were in St. Croix, you know, 2 weeks ago. I mean, we do it all. We do like corporate events.
Yeah.
They even call us for movies. Yes, so like we do movie consultants. So like when they have an actor that needs to jump double dutch, but the actor 99.9% of the time, they don't know how to jump at all.
Right. Yes.
So they'll send them to us and then we teach them how to jump. And then for the movie. So we do that a lot. So like
y'all done create a whole industry.
It's literally, we're the only ones in this space.
100%.
In the world.
Doing it as a workout class.
Doing it as a workout class. So we didn't create Double Dutch.
Yes, of course not. Yes.
Let's be very clear. We did not create Double Dutch, but we created Double Dutch aerobics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so much has happened from there. It's just like, recently we did a 60-day juice cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And how much weight you lost, babe?
47.
And I lost
You 47. Lost what?
47 pounds.
Yes.
It's 231 pounds.
Yes.
In 30 days?
60 days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You could do it.
Oh, you're joining us April 8th to the 18th is the next 10-day juice cleanse. But anyway, so after the 60-day juice cleanse.
Well, so originally we were doing a 10-day juice cleanse.
Yes.
And then like on the fifth day, you know, I was watching all of these videos trying to get inspiration to get through the 10.
Yes.
And I was like, I saw people doing 30. I saw people doing 60, 100, 300 days. 300. And I was like.
300 days juice cleanse.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lady healed herself from. Just about everything. So she had 12 different diseases that each of them could have killed her.
They told her she was going to die.
They told her she was going to die. She juiced for 366 days because it was a leap year.
Yep.
And she went from a wheelchair to running a 5K. So there's, we try to explain to people that there is a lot of power in what you eat. So in juicing and eating clean.
Yes.
I'm going to just say that, eating clean. You know what I'm saying? We were doing 10, fifth day. I was like, let's do 60.
Yes.
Michelle was like.
I said, babe, if we're going to do 60, we got to stick to it. Like, don't say we're doing 60 and then we do 35 days. And we literally.
I don't even know where that came from. So
I
Michelle,
don't either.
Michelle, we've been doing juice cleanses for about, 14 years?
Yeah.
So we'll do 10-day juice cleanses. The most we've done was, 30-day juice cleanses.
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know where in my mind that I said on the fifth day we're going to do 60. I don't know.
And I said, babe, if you're going to do 60, we can't quit in the middle. We got to commit to it.
The funniest thing, it was the easiest one I've ever done.
How's that?
Because of the way you feel. So that's the thing you can't ignore. You can't ignore how you feel. You feel like Superman. You have all of this energy. You have this mental clarity.
Yes.
You just your body feels better. You recover faster. So if you work out, you don't have the pains after the workout.
And talk about marriage, you acting like teenagers.
Teenagers all over the place.
All over the place.
Cutting up tomatoes.
What's all you mean?
Cut that out. Sorry.
Don't say that. Literally, but we didn't know why we were doing the 60 days. But after the 60 days, Sean had an idea to do Jumpin' Juice 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about when you feel good is you want to share it with everyone, right? And so he was like, let's do a 10-day juice cleanse with 10,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we did the first one, January 2nd to the 12th.
Of this year. Right.
Yep.
I saw that.
The testimonial. So every day during the 10 days, we go live with someone who's healed themselves from something. And so that's when we interviewed the young lady's name is Sarah. That's when we interviewed her and she shared her story of going from a wheelchair to a 5K with the power of juicing. We have someone who healed from prostate cancer. Harold. So literally during the 10 days, you're in a Facebook group and every day at 8 p.m., we go live with someone who healed themselves. So you're constantly encouraged. You're not by yourself. We're teaching you how to be successful during a juice cleanse.
And the thing is, like, we in doing this, you wonder, how come the whole world doesn't know
about
this?
That's the only reason you're
testifying. It blows our mind. Every story that we hear, every testimony that we get, I'm like, why isn't everyone doing this?
Why not?
Why? If you're trying to heal anything, whether it's high blood pressure, cholesterol.
Fibroids.
There are zero side effects to juicing.
Zero.
Yep.
No, there's zero side there's effects.
I know.
So it's literally worth a try.
Zero
side effects.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear. I don't think anything is wrong with surgery, especially fibroid surgery.
No. Yeah.
To be honest. honest, I wasn't trying to be like a natural superhero. I was just trying to have a baby.
That's it.
That was my only goal.
Right. And way your insurance wasn't insurance.
That's right.
And you were like, I can't afford to go through surgery. So what could I afford? Some juices.
And that was, I got the water from BJ's, okay? I mean, the price done gone up. But it was like $5.39. The Deer Park water, that's what I drank for 17 days. Literally. And so even now, yeah, about fibroids, it's like, I want the world to know, because when I see a teenager suffering with heavy periods, it's like a teenager with a heavy period is a woman who's suffering later in her life is suffering from infertility.
Yep.
It's a woman who in her 50s has to get a hysterectomy, or in her 40s. So it's just like, it's a woman less later suffering from endometriosis. Right. We're just taught to normalize pain.
Right.
Just because it's common does not mean it's normal.
That's right.
So heavy periods are very common. I had them my periods were
gangsta.
Terrible.
Lord,
they were terrible. That's right. And I didn't know that they were supposed to be pain free. I just didn't know. I literally didn't know. I thought it was good luck, bad luck. I thought it was just like something that happens to you. I didn't know that I could do something about it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, literally part of the reason we do the 10-day juice cleanse is what's happening to people during the cleanse.
I mean, people are reversing their symptoms.
Yes.
They're reversing their, you know, from high blood pressure.
Yep.
To diabetes. I mean, we hear all kinds of things. I mean, it is, you know, to sign. Okay, so when you sign up to the Jumpin' Juice 10,000, there's a list of, you know, like different diseases, and we ask you to check off what you may or may not have, what you're suffering from. So, you know, it's high blood pressure, hypertension, all of those things. 95% of the people that signed up were sick.
Suffering from something.
95.
Because it's a whole lot of people just sick in the United States. Like you said, it's normalized.
It's normalized.
It's normalized, whatever. Oh, yeah, I got high blood pressure. Family got high blood pressure. We always had high blood pressure.
Yeah.
You're just like, you always, that's just okay. Yeah, I mean, my mama had it, her mama had it, my daddy had it. We just got, our family just got high blood pressure.
Yes.
And we always say it's not hereditary. Your eating habits are. And we have to explain.
Facts.
I mean, because once you push it off on your family, it takes the responsibility off of you.
Yep. Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And so we, you know, anytime somebody's like, "Yo, I'm a diabetic," and I'm like, "Well, how long would you like to be sick?"
They'd be like, "Well, I mean, my family, I mean, my family. I mean, that's how we always been." You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, "Why'd you normalize? Why are you accepting that?"
But the thing
is, don't accept it. You don't have to.
You don't have to. And I think what's so fun about the Jumpin' Juice 10,000 is it's not that somebody's not smart. It's that we've all been conditioned this way.
Yeah.
Conditioned.
We clearly, we just said we have kids. We have a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Let me give them a name. Yes. Sean Jr., Phoenix, and Maverick.
Yes, those are babies.
Sean Jr., Phoenix, and Maverick.
That's right. Uh-huh. They came home from school, and they were telling us about the food chart. So what I want to, it's like, you can't wonder why we are conditioned at 30. We've been being conditioned since we were 5.
And they're in kindergarten.
They're in kindergarten and first grade. They're vegan. So we're already teaching them the opposite. So they already have to go, "Oh no, that's not right though." You know, like literally. And it's like, you forget in 2024, it's the same chart that we had.
Yes.
When we were kids.
It hasn't changed.
It looks the same way.
And it's scary, but it's not that we're stupid. We literally just don't know.
Well, like you said, conditioned. Yeah. We've been conditioned and programmed to think a certain way. And if something wrong, take some medication.
Yes.
And that's it.
And medicine sustains. Food heals.
Right.
And it's just like I got saved February 12th. Don't judge me. I do not know the Bible very well. Okay. I'm learning it. But I just said, I remember I was reading the Bible. I feel like every single page is like monumental. But literally, I was only up to Genesis. And it said, I'm going to say it wrong, but you know you're going to fix it, Liz Harris. Because you know the Bible by heart, okay? So literally, it was like you could eat unlimited from the garden.
Yep.
And when I was reading that, I said, "Wait, guys, it's right here."
Yep.
Yeah. Everyone tries to make it something else, but I think it's literal. I think it's if you eat, you know, from God's garden, you can eat unlimited. Because Fully Raw Christina eats, how much that child eats?
She's a lot, yeah.
When you eat Fully Raw Vegan, you can eat in abundance. You can eat in abundance and be fine. And when I read it, I was like, guys, no one's listening. This is what it means.
It's
for
funny,
real.
Before you said that, I was about to say we got to go back to the garden because that's what it is. And
so
at the end of the day, you know, Dr. Sabi, he talked about the same thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it just don't make money. So in America, being a capitalist society, it's like, I don't want you healed. I need you sick.
Right.
I make money off of you being sick.
Right.
The hospital stay open when you're sick. People are able to work when you're sick.
Right.
And so in medication, the pharma, the big pharma gets paid when you're sick. So it's like, I don't want it to be as simple as you go back to the garden to get your healing. I need you sick so I can make money.
But that's, it's like, you know what I always say? Everyone's going to make a choice. People are going to choose.
They're still going to make that choice.
They're
still
going to
make money.
Yeah. It's just like, you don't have to hide it from them. There are going to be people. The hospitals are not empty.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
They're actually overcrowded.
Yeah.
So the fact is, there's still going to be people that want to take that route. But I think we should know all of our options.
That's what I was just about to say.
So that we can choose. Just let us choose.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's real.
That's it.
What are some, as we begin to wrap up, what makes y'all's marriage thrive? What makes y'all... because it sounds like to me, just knowing around y'all, being around y'all, have y'all ever faced any situation where divorce was on the table?
Yeah.
Well, not
realistically.
Not
for real. It was more of a threat, but not. I'm gonna say no.
Sean has said the big D word to me before.
What do you say?
I've said the big D word to Michelle. But the problem was, It's not because I didn't want to be with her. I was scared that it could possibly go back to what I was used to in my previous relationship. And I'm not trying to compare it, but I made this vow like in my next relationship, which was Michelle was the next relationship, I have to be happy. I want to be happy at all times. And if I feel like something is off, I don't know. It's not that I was going to leave. It's just that it's almost like bringing attention to what's actually happened. Like I don't want to avoid it like I did and let it get worse. I want to kind of like stop it before it could possibly get to what I was used to previously.
So what was going on that made you feel like it can get to a place of unhappiness?
I wish I could tell you.
I don't even
remember what it was.
But I
remember how it made me feel. So I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember exactly how it made me feel. I was just like, oh man, I don't want to go down that path again, even though it wasn't even close.
Yeah, you just said I can see it coming. If this is left unattended, it can take me
it
here.
Can, it
and
can
you
take
had
me.
A trauma response to what could happen.
Wait. Can I say something?
That's exactly right.
I gotta say something. Yes. This is why being married. This is why being married to him is so fun. I have never heard him say that before. Okay, so when we
it's
have
the
fun,
show. It's the show.
The reason why that makes me feel better is because sometimes when we argue, I'd be like, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think the big D word
like,
was.
Why are you tripping?
I didn't think the big D word was appropriate. I thought we were just having an argument.
But the thing is, you're actually right. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It wasn't
appropriate for what was going on.
It really was.
But because your trauma was speaking ahead of. See, when we're stuck in trauma and you're afraid of what could happen, you'll start jumping the gun and start responding as if something happened.
Yes.
Not like
I have never heard that
let's
before.
Have a conversation. It's almost like saying, hey babe, let's have this conversation. Listen, when you did this, it made me feel like this. Instead of saying, this marriage may end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on.
No, because if you do another 365 days of this, it can happen. But this has happened for 2 weeks. Like, why did that escalate?
And it don't even be that long, to be honest with you.
It's not even that long.
It's fear will cripple you and make you respond in a moment as if it happened, like a future response.
Yes.
And you can mitigate that whole thing by just having a conversation and say, baby, this is how I feel. And you go, oh, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again.
Yes.
And you go, was it that easy? Yes.
That literally, I haven't had it worded that way, like literally ever. And so that just makes so much sense.
So what did you feel on the receiving end?
On the receiving end, I literally be like, I thought we were madly in love. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand where the D word. It has not been a time where I said, because even when we're upset, I'm just like, babe, you got to sleep next to me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's good.
There hasn't been a moment yet where I thought I don't want to be with him. There hasn't been that moment. There hasn't been that moment for me. So then our two worst arguments, when it got there for him, I just felt like, well, where am I? Like, and am I? This.
And the key was, it's not that he imagined not being with you. He was afraid that the marriage would end. So it's not, yeah. it's not like he's saying, like you said, it's not a moment that I imagine not being with you. It's the same with him. He wants to be with you, but yes. He felt like it wasn't sustainable for whatever was going on in that moment. Said, yeah. This could end. And that made him afraid. Instead of dealing with the fear of what is causing him to trigger like that, he just felt the fear of his trauma response saying this could end. Told y'all I should be a therapist. But let me tell you
something. You just broke it down.
I got to tell you, I'm so glad I came.
That literally
but
helped
me. But that literally is it.
Yeah. 100%.
Because it's not like I don't love her.
No.
Yeah. I love my, this is my wife, my life.
I can hear how you talk about her.
I love my wife.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. And I know she feels blindsided. Like, wait a minute, where did that come from? I don't treat her like that. Right. It's like, whoa, wait a minute, what? We're over?
We're getting a divorce?
Yeah.
Did you go file the paper?
Wait, I gotta say, when we was boyfriend and girlfriend one time, we had an argument and he tried to say it was over. And I was like, no, it's not. You're not leaving me. You're not leaving me. What are you talking about?
You're not leaving me.
I literally was like, babe, no.
So if you're okay. Blink twice if you're okay.
I was like, babe, you're not leaving me. Like, it's just, like, come on. You're not leaving me. And then he didn't leave me.
No. You remember that moment, Sean?
I do. I think it was a very dumb argument. I think we were arguing over like sitting on the bed or something.
We had some dumb, really dumb.
I'm embarrassed to even talk about it.
But real things with real people. Yo. We all have to. So I want you to remember that was about what?
It was about, I think, sitting
on the bed. I told you that you couldn't sit on the bed for some reason.
We even went to therapy. It was basically.
It was my bed in my co-op.
Yes, but that's not it because we were friends.
Oh, wait, we were friends.
You got the wrong argument.
We've had
the arguments be dumb.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not about the argument. It's just about something dumb. Like, we went to therapy. I still don't remember what we were fighting for. And we went to the therapist to ask them. You know, you go to a therapist to be like, tell him he's wrong, please. So literally we went to the therapist and the therapist was just like, well, why are you with her? By the time we left the therapy, I was like, oh my God, I love him. This is the best relationship. And I started
listening. I was like, I love it for this, yes. this, and this.
And that was the one therapy session we went
to. He's probably like, what are y'all doing here?
We don't even know what we were arguing about. But no, wait, let me make a point.
Y'all start listening why you love us so much.
Yeah. It's like.
Because they have to get to the core, but you just want to bring the argument because you want the therapist to say.
You wrong.
Yes. But they don't do that. But the one thing I was going to say, you asked us how we keep our joy in our marriage. I will always say, and my parents were together for 45 years before my father passed away.
45 years. 45. Shout out to them.
Oh, yes. And so my mother said this to me, and it sticks with me. And it's that marriages don't get boring. People get boring.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to stay interested to stay interesting. So you have to keep growing, have interest about yourself. Like, what are you doing to grow? Mm-hmm. And that will make your partner interested. It'll make you interested in yourself. You know what I mean? If you stay interested, you'll stay interesting. So Sean is fun. We're constantly on adventures. We're constantly learning, growing. And so it's fun. Like, we're planning the next Jumpin' Juice 10,000. Sean has plans to save the world, and I believe
in
him.
When is that? When is Jumpin' Juice 10,000?
Jumpin' Juice 10,000 is from April 8th through the 18th. But this time, we're going for 1 million people.
This boy said 1 million people.
I want 1 million people juicing at the same time.
Yes.
And these people be signing up how?
Oh.
They sign up. You can sign up on our website, doubledutcharobics.com.
Yeah.
And you can sign right up to the Jumpin' Juice. Click Jumpin' Juice 10,000 and sign right up.
How many signed up in January?
We had a couple of thousand sign up. But the thing with that was it was way more than that. So we had like one person that'll sign up, but they're doing it with their whole job.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So there's no telling how many people.
Yeah. So you got to articulate. If y'all sign up, don't sign up as a family. Sign up individually so that they can actually
so we can know.
Get to this million.
Yeah. But yeah, they're like, yeah, me and my wife and my kids. And like, it was out of control.
It was
good.
But I know a million is a big number, but you know, thinking big and thinking small.
Yeah, because if you go for a million and you get 100,000.
That's good. Thinking big and thinking small takes the same energy. Yeah. So I go big.
Yeah.
Go home.
Listen, man, I love talking to y'all. Of course, y'all can't tell me how the Amazing Race ends.
No, we can't.
You can't tell me what happens. I even asked y'all, did y'all get a chance to teach some of the other competitors how to double dutch? Y'all are tight-lipped about that. Y'all get on my nerves. You know, y'all just don't want to share no nothing. I just get no benefit from y'all sitting around here.
We signed
here.
A lot of papers.
I know y'all did.
A lot of papers.
Listen, yes. I love it. We're rooting for y'all. You know, you got my other people riding, Leticia, on it as well. That's my people. They were on the podcast a few seasons ago.
Yes.
So shout out to them. Listen, man, thank y'all so much for stopping by the Dear Future Wifey podcast. How can people connect with y'all?
So everything is Double Dutch Aerobics. To get the Bye Bye Fibroids ebook, the Jumpin' Juice 10,000, to get certified, to jump with us, everything is DoubleDutchAerobics.com.
DoubleDutchAerobics.com.
Subscribe.
And you'll find us.
Up next, not only am I going to be writing the Dear Future Wifey letter, but y'all about to get a... I'm gonna test them and see if they can teach me how to double dutch in 1 minute or less. All right, so that's what we about to do. So stay tuned. Up next, your boy's about to double dutch.
Stay tuned to the end for a letter to my future wifey.
Been writing these love letters to you.
Ladarian, thrusted suddenly into Child Protective Services in 2015. My nephew, black, a boy. The likelihood of being adopted outside of kinship, slim to none. Armani, 16 years old, black, a boy, with 5 years in the foster care system before I even knew his name. The likelihood of ever being adopted, yep, you guessed it, slim to none. While Ladarian and Armani were trying to survive and barely thrive in an overpopulated and underfunded foster care system, I was living my own life, doing well professionally. Having been a single father with a daughter who at that point was doing well in college, it was my time to live my life, right? Wrong. I felt unsettled, tireless, agitated. There are just too many of our black children stuck in ambiguity and in the limbo of the foster care system. In 2017, I legally adopted my nephew, Ladarian. Fast forward to 2019, I had no ties to this other young king, but I felt God instructed me to adopt him also, and I obeyed. Starting over with parenting should have been enough, right? Working with various foster care and adoption agencies to help bring awareness to the countless young black kings in the foster care system should have decreased my agitation, right? Joining the board of directors of Advantage Adoption, an organization that helps find permanent adoptive homes for children in foster care, should have led to some type of resolve, right? No, not at all. None of it felt like I had done enough. I now realize that every one of those experiences was laying the fundamental foundation for my life's mission, Kingdom Royale. Kingdom Royale will be a luxury state-of-the-art home for foster boys. Our first location will be in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. We will utilize the whole person approach that instills identity, empowers them to advocate for themselves, and enlightens them regarding new perspectives and limitless options that they thought were impossible. Though the young kings will attend the local public schools that are in proximity to Kingdom Royale, our at-home curriculum will broaden their worldview through participating in the arts, attending various cultural events, learning about and engaging in multifaceted discussions about current events and even relevant historical contexts, introducing them to gardening and landscaping and even caring for our animals on our farm and on-site stables. We just launched our startup capital campaign with the goal of raising $2.8 million. Now, why $2.8 million? Well, in 2017, I created a web series in which I performed random acts of kindness for targeting the homeless community. One of the most notable successes was that one of the videos went viral, garnering 28 million views. However, One of my biggest regrets is that I didn't raise a single dollar to help in implementing a more sustainable plan for the homeless community. So throughout the years, with much remorse, I reflected on not maximizing that moment. I knew if at that time, just 10% of the viewers donated $1, we would have raised at least $2.8 million that could have really established long-term support for the homeless community, or at least started a long-term initiative to do so. This is my do-over. This is our new beginning. Together, we can attack this at the root by specifically helping our homeless Black boys who are already disproportionately represented in the American foster care system. I'm LaTerrace R. Whitfield. I've been nominated for 3 regional Emmys documenting my work with the homeless as well as my personal adoption journey. Despite those accolades, the greatest award for me is truly providing the infrastructure for a transformed life. Visit KingdomRoyale.com for more details. Crown a king and make a donation today.
Now, here's my favorite part of the podcast where I speak to my future wifey. Dear future wifey, in the dance of life, let us become the master choreographers, crafting our love into a graceful jump rope ballet. Marriage, my love, is a delicate balance, much like the artistry of a jump rope routine. Picture us, intertwined in the symphony of motion, each step a declaration of our commitment. Just as the ropes arc and weave, so too shall we navigate the intricacies of partnership, our movements fluid and synchronous. As we leap and twirl through the tapestry of time, let us find rhythm in the beating of our hearts, in the whispered promises exchanged with each bound. Our souls shall become the melody, harmonizing effortlessly as we sway to the cadence of our shared dreams. Your future hubby. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Dear Future Wifey podcast. Remember, be lit, live intentionally and transparently, and don't stop loving.
Make sure to subscribe to our Dear Future Wifey YouTube channel. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We welcome your support. Simply share our podcast with your friends and family.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.